So there's a children's story. Actually, there's a series of them called The Frog and the Toad. And they have a couple books, two or three books, maybe more than that. But in each one, they've got a bunch of little short stories. One of the stories in one of them is called The Garden. So Mr. Toad comes to Mr. Frog, who's got this beautiful flower garden. He says, "Man, that is just beautiful. I wish I had a garden like that." And Mr. Frog says, "You can. But remember, it takes work." But he gave him seeds to take home so he could have his own garden. And Mr. Toad went and he worked up the ground and he planted his seeds. And he says, "Seeds, come up." Nothing happened. "Seeds, come up." Nothing happened. So he put his head right down on the ground and just starts yelling really loud, "Seeds, come up." And Mr. Frog heard all this commotion in Mr. Toad's house and ran over there and said, I guess he hopped over there probably, but he got over there and he said, "What is all this commotion about?" And Mr. Toad said, "These seeds you gave me, they're not growing." He said, "No wonder with all that screaming and yelling going on, they're probably afraid to grow." He said, "You have to just give them time. Let them sit in the soil. Let the sun shine on the soil and warm it up. Let the rain come down on it and just wait on them." So Mr. Toad went into the house that night. He looks out over his garden. He says, "Those seeds are probably afraid of the dark." So he took candles and set them up around there so that the seeds would have light and wouldn't be afraid of the dark. And he began to read to them. The next morning, he sang to the seeds. And then the next day, he read poetry to the seeds. Still, they weren't growing. And he was getting so tired day after day after day, talking and reading and singing. And finally, one day, he just fell asleep. He was so tired. And Mr. Frog showed up and woke up. Mr. Toad, wake up. Look at your garden. And all the green growth was coming out of the ground. And Mr. Toad says, "You know, you were right. Growing these seeds is a lot of work." Jesus said in Mark 4:26, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." I have to tell you, I love seeds. And you know, corn nowadays is all hybrid and all that, so it doesn't actually produce like you would the exact same thing that you had here. But these seeds, if you look at your seed, everybody should have gotten some corn when you came in. I'm dropping them all over. But those seeds, you know, just think about what all it comes out of that seed. You put it in the ground, and it sits there for some time, and it begins to grow. At first, you're looking and you see the ground just crack a little bit. And then finally, you start seeing the sprout come up. And then a plant comes out of the ground that looks nothing like the seed that you put in. Every time I think about it, it just kind of amazes me. Growing things just kind of fills me with wonder. But sometimes when you plant that seed, kind of get like Mr. Toad, nothing's happening. I can't see anything going on. But if you're not patient, speaking from experience, you can dig down beside the plant and just try to look and see if it's coming up. But if you're not careful, you hit that little stalk and it breaks off and you've ruined what was beginning to grow. There isn't much we can do when we plant seed, but wait. Toad had to learn that yelling and reading and singing to seeds doesn't make them grow. They need a little rain, a little sunshine, a little warmth, and they'll break out of the ground. And Jesus uses the image of seeds and plants a lot to explain something we have a hard time understanding: the kingdom of God. As he said in Mark 4:26, the man scatters the seed and it grows whether he's sleeping or watching over the seed. Once planted, we have to kind of take our hands off and wait to see and let the seed take on life of its own as it begins to grow. Also in Mark chapter 4, the beginning of Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, Jesus tells one of his well-known parables. Begins with, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large, he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow a seed. He was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And the disciples had no idea what he was talking about. Apparently, they didn't have ears yet to hear what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus explained it to them, beginning at verse 13. Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So the farmer went out to sow his seed, but by today's standards, this guy is not much of a farmer. He wouldn't make it. He was a seed slinger, throwing seed everywhere. I mean, he just kind of put it out there, you know, see where it goes. It doesn't matter. I mean, nowadays, it's not like that at all. I mean, we've got equipment that has precision planting. You know how many seeds per acre you put out. I gave Ben Taylor a call to find out what seed costs today. He said all the expenses in planting an acre and a quart, the fertilizer, the chemicals, and all those inputs is $500 or $600 per acre. But the seed isn't sold by the pound anymore. They sell it by the number of seeds. There's about 80,000 seeds in a bag, which costs about $300. But there's variables. Just like between buying a Hyundai and a Porsche, there's different seeds you can get at different prices. The problem is, he said, he tried some of the cheaper seed, going to save some money. But he lost 30 to 40 bushels to the acre, about 20% less, by not using good seed. The seed costs about $150 an acre. And when you've got seed in your planter, You don't just leave the planter down when you're going down the road, scattering seed down the road. You don't use it going through a ditch and just let seeds go out into the ditch. You don't run it through the woods or through the thorn bushes. You run your planter just in the good soil. You've prepared the soil for it. You know where you want the seed. You put exactly what you want. But the farmer in Jesus' parable, call Mac for old McDonald had a farm. Mac slinging seed everywhere. On the road, in the rocks, in the thorn bushes, and some of it actually got to good soil. What a waste. In his day, that wasn't that abnormal. They'd go out and sow the seed, and then they would plow it in. Sometimes they didn't see the rocks just under the surface. But I'm thinking, seed must have been pretty cheap. Because Mac was not worried about the seed. He wasn't worried about getting it in the right place. He was just slinging seed everywhere. It wasn't in limited supply. So he slings it out there and sees what happens. Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. When he says that, we know that this story is more than about Mac and his farming practices. So as he begins to explain the parable to the disciples that can't quite seem to understand, he says, the farmer sows the word. Now, when Scripture speaks of the Word, it's usually speaking of the Word of God, or as John says in the beginning of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. He's God's revealed Word. So when the farmer sows the Word, you see, it has an ever-deepening meaning. The Word. Sharing the Word, the Scriptures with people. Sharing Jesus with people through teaching and preaching by our actions, by our reactions. It's sharing the good news about Jesus, who is fully God and became fully human and lived among us without sin. He died the death we deserve so we could live the life he created us to live. And though all of us have sinned and fallen short of his glory, and the wages of sin is death, Jesus came to cleanse us of our sin and to give us new life, eternal life. No matter where we've been, no matter what we have done, no matter how old we are or how young we are, no matter how much money we have or have how little money we have, no matter how much power we have or little power we have, no matter our past, he gives us new life. That's the word that was sown. And the way I understand Scripture, we're all farmers. We're all slinging seed. We don't need the modern equipment with high-dollar seed. We have an unlimited supply. We can sling it everywhere. We can be like Mac. Just throw it out there and see where it may grow. You know, I had something else planned for preaching this week, and then back, I don't know when it was now, October or so, I went out to my farm, kind of my retreat place, and just get away and spend time in prayer, and felt like this was the message God gave me for this last day of 2023. My vision for 2024 for Real Life Chapel is that we're seed slingers. So here's my vision. You're out somewhere kind of like Naca. Nothing but tumbleweeds. Little town, you got two guys lined up looking at each other. The old westerns. I always loved the old westerns. Lined up looking at each other. glaring at each other. And the one, the hero, the guy with the white hat, instead of pulling a gun, he pulls a bag of seed and starts slinging seed around. And next thing you know, you see growth coming up. And the desert that was barren begins to have life. Beautiful flowers and plants for food. And the guy on the other side is looking like, what in the world is going on here? And then he catches on. And he recognizes all of a sudden what was desert, what was barren, takes on life. And he grabs a bag of seed as well and begins to sling seed around in the desert. And what was once a hostile standoff turns into a celebration as plants grow between the two former gunslingers who are now seed slingers. It's like a garden, like Eden, like the Garden of Revelation. Life and life abundant. Kind of a picture of the kingdom of God. You know, I love church. I love the church. I know some people have had problems with church. They've been hurt by the church, and I get that because there's people in the church, so people hurt people sometimes. But we also have to remember that as we come together, it's hard to understand, but we become the body of Christ. And we're diverse. We're different. You look around this room. There's some people you're looking at and you're saying, there's no other place I would be with that person other than in here. There's no way I would hang out with them. There's other people. You say, oh, yeah, they're all right. I'd hang out with them. But we are a diverse group that comes together as the body of Christ. We've got all kinds of likes and dislikes. I know this could get a little controversial. Well, you got Republicans and Democrats both gathered together? Yeah, what? You got Alabama fans and Georgia fans in the same place? Our diversity is what makes us strong. We live in different areas. We live in different neighborhoods. We encounter different people in different places. But somewhere along the way, somebody scattered some seed. And it hit us. And it just landed in our hearts and began to grow. That gospel seed that somebody sowed along the way. Oh, there are some probably in here this morning where that seed's still germinating underneath the surface. For some, that seed's just beginning to grow. And there's some that are producing fruit and multiplying 30, 60, or 100 times. But all of us have an opportunity to sling seed. You don't have to get any kind of certification to sling gospel seed. Anybody and everybody can do it. It might just be a word of blessing to a cashier or a waiter or waitress or someone that's just having a bad day, and you just scatter a little seed their way. I think sometimes we're looking for that perfect soil before we decide we're going to scatter any seed. But maybe it's a family member or a friend that the conversation starts turning in a direction. You can just throw a little seed out there and see what might take root. Oh, there's times for precision planting. But what would happen if individually and as a church, We just started slinging seed all over the place. Wherever we go, we're just kind of slinging seed and see what happens. Not worrying about the soil. Just getting the seed on the ground. See where it takes you. It might surprise you where some seed finds some good soil. I've been in parking lots before. Right in the middle of a parking lot. And here's a plant growing. It found a little bit of good soil in a crack. I don't think Todd's here today. Todd Still. He found out about a girl with a disability that was making cards with scripture on them. You might have seen them in our bathrooms. We had them on the back table. He wanted to help this girl out, so he bought some of these cards and he brought them to church and figured some people might find some encouragement from the scripture on these cards. But then Bill Acosta took some of those cards and he started putting them around in a store down in St. Michael's at Olivan's. Then he called me up and he said, "Hey, can we put something on the back to tell a little bit about Real Life Chapel? Because I'm putting these cards in my store, and it's amazing what God's doing with this. All of a sudden, I'm having all these spiritual conversations with people. God's opening all kinds of doors. You just got to sling a little seed. Nobody planned that. It's just what God does when we sling seed. This fall, Hannah got an idea, talked to Lon A. Two of them decided they're doing trunk or treat. They just asked if it was okay. When the pastor's wife asked me if it's okay, I say it's okay. But we hadn't done it, not since we've been here. It was something to try out. Didn't know how many people might show up or might not show up. Sling a little seed out there and see what happened. And we had a good turnout of people from the church and some people from the community. What will happen next year if we get the information out even more? Sling a little extra seed. And people can come and encounter people from the church. Little sunshine. In order to help that seed grow. And then this year we also had our first evening in Bethlehem. If y'all know Addie, she can be persistent too. Addie had this idea and she presented it to the leadership team, and then she grabbed Michelle and Lindsay and drug them along, and they put on that evening, I keep calling it Journey to Bethlehem, that evening in Bethlehem. And we had a bunch of people from the church participate, but we had 70 people from the community show up. Now, there's a couple that was in the first room people went into, that Butch and Penny Arbin, who go to Jamaica with us and kind of got me going to Jamaica in the beginning. So they were in the room talking about our Jamaica mission trip. The good thing about them being in that first room is they didn't know if you had been here at this church for 100 years, Harry, or if you had never walked in the door before. So they asked everybody, "Are you a part of this church?" And one of the things they found out was all the people that they talked to that were not a part of the church were invited by someone from the church. It wasn't because of anything in a newspaper or on Facebook, which got hacked out, or on the radio or any of that. It was people inviting people. And that's what I've learned through the years of talking to people. Most people, there's a few that it's not the case. Most people show up to church because someone invited them. And what they say is, and the people that do all the statistics and stuff say, if someone comes and within 2 or 3 weeks don't build connections with 2 or 3 people, they slide right back out the door. Got to sling a little seed around and let it take root. build relationships with people, invest in people. And here's what I want everybody here to understand. I'm not the one with all the seed. We all have seed to sling. I don't have all the ideas. I don't even have, by any stretch of imagination, the best ideas. We're different. We're diverse. We've got seed that we can scatter where we go, and you're going to connect with different people than you're going to connect with, who are different people than I'm going to connect with. But we've all got the tools we need. We just need to scatter some seed out there. My job as the pastor is to equip you for what God has called you to do, to give you the extra tools you need in order to scatter the seed out there. Did you know that OCC, which is a big part of what we do here at Real Life Chapel, began with God giving Michelle Freeman a burden? It was before she worked here. So they called a meeting for anyone who was interested in being involved. And five people showed up, counting Michelle. So four people other than her showed up. But that year, they got some other people involved. They did a yard sale in order to raise money, and they packed 322, is that right? 322 boxes. And then Michelle handed the leadership of that off to Melissa, who handed it off to Charlotte. And this past year, we packed 1,000 boxes. And we're distribution centers, so we had around 10,000 boxes go through our hands here at Real Life Chapel to connect with kids and share the gospel with them all over the world, slinging seed where it may not go otherwise. And I think we do a pretty good job of slinging seed in our garden, into places that we've prepared. We invite people to come to us and check out what we've got going here. We do a pretty good job of taking seed to NACA and scattering seed there, encouraging the teachers and the staff there and the kids, and letting them know that somebody cares about them and that Jesus loves them. We do the same thing in Jamaica. We give of time and money, and we go out there and we work and we connect with people, and we worship together. And we help equip the local churches and the schools to have the tools they need to sling even more seed in their community. But where are the places that God wants us to go and just sling seed without restraint? Some of the seed's going to fall on the hard path. People are going to ignore it. We're going to get frustrated. Satan's going to snatch it up before it can even take root. Some of it's going to fall on rocky soil. People respond, and we come alongside them, and we start pouring into them. But then the challenges of life, even persecution or opposition, comes, and they just fall away. See, we can't make them grow. We can't make people produce fruit, but we can try to help clear the rocks away. We can be there for them. We can disciple them. We can encourage people. We can pray for people, and we can help them get rooted in good soil. Disciples making disciples. That's what that's all about. Jesus says that some are just going to be rocks. They're not going to put down roots, and they're going to wither away. And some's going to take off growing. But he says, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And unfortunately, I believe this is common in the church. We lose focus. There's too many distractions of life, and that takes precedence over our relationship with Jesus and his call on our lives. We're alive spiritually, but not thriving. Notice it doesn't say that those plants actually die off, but they're unfruitful. And if we go back to John the Baptist's message that we talked about a few weeks ago, he said the axe is at the root of the tree that does not produce fruit. The good news is we can thin out the thorns, the distractions, and that plant will take off and produce fruit like it's planted, like it's supposed to do. But what we really pray for is as we scatter seed, that it will fall on good soil. When we spread good news about Jesus and words and actions, that it'll take root and produce a crop. And notice even in that, they're not all the same. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But it's kind of like the parable of the talents that Jesus talks about elsewhere. You know, some get a little and some get a lot. And some produce a little and some produce a lot. But the idea is that we're producing. We're not all going to be the same. We're disciples making disciples. We're multiplying. And we're all called to sling seed. Not calculating, all right, that person, I think the seed will grow in and that one won't. You ever seen trees growing in the rocks of a mountain? That seed found some good soil there, and now it's flourishing. Though you never would have imagined that it would take off and grow there. I don't know how or where some of you are slinging seeds. I don't know a lot of you are slinging seeds I know nothing about. There's people that send out cards when somebody's hurting or sick or something's going on, and y'all just send out cards to them. I know Laurie Elbin organizes people to fix meals for someone after they've had a baby or other things going on, and a bunch of you jump in and do that. I know Joyce's Sunday school class fix meals for funerals or other things like that. Some of you invite neighbors over to your home for dinner, just slinging a little seed around. I think Hannah, from what I understand, is trying to get her whole neighborhood here. Addie held VBS in her yard under the tree this summer. And if you work for Keith Prettyman and you don't know Jesus, he's going to take you on a mission trip. And seed's going to start growing that he's slung around. Jerry, if he meets you, he's going to invite you to come to church. A bunch of you here came because Jerry invited you, or you're here because somebody Jerry invited you. Lou has a way of just greeting people, making them feel welcome. I don't know, Lou does what Lou does. I can't even describe it. He slings that seed out there, though. A bunch of you are just slinging seed out there, seeing where it may grow. And I know some of you send people on mission trips by paying their way, or you buy tools. Might not want your names announced, but you find ways of slinging seeds for the kingdom of God. And I know it's dangerous naming names like this, because I'll miss more than I name. I know we got over 30 people that are involved in Sunday school, slinging seed into the lives of these kids, watching it grow. I know a lot of you sling seed all over the place. And perhaps you wonder, is it really doing any good? And sometimes seed takes a long time before it starts to sprout. But that's not, we can't make it grow. All we can do is sling the seed out there. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. We all have ways, opportunities, gifts for slinging seed. The sharing of the word of God, the message, but even more importantly, sharing the person of Jesus. We don't have to. Actually, we can't change lives other than our own. We can't make seed grow. in Lake Toad, we can shout and sing and read. Still won't make that seed grow. But seed's abundant. We got plenty of seed. And we can just sling it out there. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So where can we scatter seed generously, abundantly, recklessly with our neighbors, at work, with friends, with family, in our community? And I think what I want most for you to hear this morning is, it's not me that's got the seed. Often in our church, we look, oh, the pastor does that. No, we've got places to sow seed. We've all got plenty of seed to sow. We just have to be willing to scatter it out there and see where it might grow. See, I believe Jesus has spread that creativity around among us. He's given us dreams and ideas and ways to sling seed maybe nobody else has thought of. And maybe you're afraid of failure. Maybe you think you've got to have everything just right. Maybe you think you've got to find the perfect soil before you can sling the seed. But in 2024, I want us as Real Life Chapel to dream big and scatter wide. To sow generously out into our community, out of the walls, out there where it's uncomfortable. Well, we don't know much about what type of soil it really is. But where God can land that seed we sling, and lives can be changed. There's going to be failures. There's going to be seed that lands on the hard ground and Satan plucks it up before it ever takes root. There might be opposition. There's going to be those who seem to be growing along and we pour into them, then the challenge of life comes and they wither away. There'll be those who allow the worries of this life, deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things to choke out what God is trying to produce in and through them. But there's going to be situations, those that we pray for, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown. So I want to encourage us not to start this new year without asking God where he wants us to sling some seed this year. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, man, that seed's been hitting my heart for years and I haven't let it take root. I've not allowed Jesus to really come in and transform me. I've been coming around, I kind of like the way it feels showing here, but I just haven't let Jesus in. Man, the last day of 2023, what a great way to end this year and start a new year. And maybe you were growing, but opposition has come along, you've just withered up. Kind of feel like you're spiritually dead. Or maybe the worries of life, deceitfulness of wealth is choking your spiritual life. And it's there. It's just not fruitful. I want to encourage us to, I think like Morgan was saying, just reckless abandonment, surrender to God this morning to end 2023. And allow the seeds, that gospel seed, the word of God, to just grow and flourish in us so that we multiply that and then we scatter that seed out And we pray and allow God to use that seed to transform lives that we may have never even imagined. Because I'm going to tell you, I was one of the ones that you never would have imagined. And I know a bunch of you here are as well. But that seed took root. Let's not be shy about it. Let's scatter seed abundantly this year. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I don't understand why your plan is to use us for expanding your kingdom. But you've told us to go and make disciples. You've told us to go and share the good news. You've told us to scatter seed. And Lord, sometimes we've just been too afraid, too hesitant, trying to calculate it all out where we can make things happen instead of just trusting you. Forgive us for that, Lord. And Lord, this morning, there's people here that just know they're not where they need to be with you. Lord, speak to them and just help them let go this morning and allow that seed to just grow and flourish in them as they turn from their sin and turn to you. But Lord, I pray that you would not only speak to us about where you want to scatter in some seed, but you would actually burden us with a desire to sling the word of God, to sling the good news wherever we go, and trust you to make it grow. Lord, I pray that 2024 will be a year of abundant harvest because we're faithful to share what you have called us to share in Easton and the surrounding communities with our family, with our friends, with strangers, wherever you've put us, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you. And we look forward to the new work you're going to do in and around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.